Meanwhile, as they're getting that set up, there was something that was kind of on my heart this morning, and it was about the fruit of the Spirit. And I spent the weekend with some family, and it's hard because, you know, when the Lord, you know, tries to give you some wisdom and discernment on how to handle situations, you really, really want to be open to Him. I mean, I'm one of those people that if someone bugs me, I really, really like to hit it head on and deal with it, because that's how, I mean, I guess sometimes I like to be dealt with that way too, because I want the Lord to be able to work in my heart. And I want other people to feel free to speak into my life. I'm just saying, you don't even have to do it gently. But I had family this weekend, and there was just a lot of things that I saw. And I had to, every time they come into town and kind of leave, Josh and I always have to sit our kids down and just remind them. It's kind of like a decompressing process. You know, remind them what the fruit of the Spirit is. And that these people, they love the Lord. But you guys, there's also fruit of the Spirit. And that's how we know each other are Christians. You know, no one asks anyone to be perfect. I have so many issues myself. But there's also that fruit that we do need to ask the Lord to help us have. And that's love. I always sing the song in my head, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But those are important to have, you know, and you know, I struggle with patience. Lord, help me have patience. You know, do people see patience when they see me? You know, some people are like, gosh, I didn't know that you have a problem with patience. I think you're a real patient person. Praise the Lord for that. Because then they're seeing fruit of what the Lord has done in me. And I just think that's really, and I know that's in Galatians, or Ephesians.
Galatians.
I do know the Bible, mostly. But the fruit of the Spirit, guys, these are things that we need to go over all the time, just like the love verse. You know, love is patient, love is kind. You know, going over all those different things. Lord, am I these things? Because these are the things I'm supposed to have. These are the things I'm supposed to do. So, Lord God, I just pray, Father, that, Lord, we all struggle. None of us are perfect, Father. I thank you, first of all, for my sister Erica this morning that just prayed for me and reminded me that every Sunday I say, Lord, help us lay the things down that have bugged us this week or this weekend. And she did that for me, Lord. And what a great reminder, Father. And I just thank you, Lord, that you are able to help us lay these things down. And Father, I pray that you speak to us, Father, that if there's anything in us that while we're in the middle of a conversation and we don't have a kind word, Father, or we don't use self-control, or we don't keep that tight rein in our tongue, Father, speak to us right away so that we can correct it. Lord, help our hearts to be soft so that we hear from you, Father. And I pray, Lord, that I just do. I pray for my family too, Lord God, that I thank you, Lord, that you silenced me 99% of the time, Lord. And I praise you for that, Father, because the old Amy would have not done that. And I just do pray, Father, that if there is any testimony to be had, Lord God, that my family can leave with that, Lord. So, are we ready to praise the Lord this morning? Is it all working?
Yeah. Yeah. Without words the first time around, we apologize. We're trying to get something else here.
Well,
you can just start her up and we'll...
We sure can. You know what, then? We'll start with the song I was going to end with, because everyone might know. No, we won't. Okay. Okay, we're going to start with, because I think most of us know this, is Your Love, O Lord.
Your righteousness, like a
People that are stubborn here today and haven't completely accepted it, Father, I pray, Lord, that you just speak to their heart, Lord God. In a way, it's so easy, but in another way, it's hard, because you have to deny yourself to accept this gift. You have to say, I'm sick of it. I can't do this life anymore, Lord. I need your gift of salvation. And Father, I can just speak from experience, Lord, that gift is amazing, and it's so much more beautiful than trying to hang on to anything else in this world, Lord. Newsflash, any love that we can muster up in our flesh is going to fail. And the people around you that love you, they're going to fail. But God has unfailing love. He is always going to love us, and He's always going to be there for us. Now, we've done the song a few times, and it's not going to be up here, but I was asked to play it this morning. So hope you all know the words. It's a hint. Here, it's about God being a good, good Father. Trying to remember the words too.
In the bed of night.
Father, Lord God, I do. I just praise you that you are the Father to the fatherless, Lord God. I thank you for being there for me, Lord, at my lowest times and at my highest times, Father. I thank you that no matter what I go through, I can cry out to you, and you'll speak to me, Father. You'll teach me. You'll be there for me, Lord God. And I pray for anyone in the room tonight, Lord, that doesn't know that yet and doesn't have that relationship, Father, that they can just speak to you anytime and come to you. Lord God, I just pray that they lay down whatever is just, whatever obstacle it is that's in the way between you and them, Father. I pray that you give them the strength and the wisdom to lay that down, Lord. And Father, you know, we're supposed to pray for wisdom. And Father, I do. I know personally, Lord, I need a lot of wisdom, Father. I'm so inadequate and I fail so much, Father. And I just pray, Lord, that you just give us wisdom, give me wisdom, give this body wisdom, give my husband wisdom, Father, and our children, Lord. You know, just because they're younger doesn't mean they can't lead spiritually, Father. And I just pray, Lord God, that you, just this younger generation, Father, that you raise them up, Lord. Help us to be good examples of that, Father. Help us not to be hypocrites, Lord. Help us to lay our lives down and show them how to be just good stewards of what you want them to do, Father. Help them to learn from us, Lord God. And by doing that, Father, we need to die to ourselves too.
God's word says, to whom can I speak and give warning? Who will listen to me? Their ears are closed, so they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is offensive to them. They find no pleasure in it. And so, Father, I just want to say today, Father, Lord, that you would make us a people who find pleasure in your word, Lord God. That you would make us into individuals, into people who want to hear your voice and want to obey your command, Lord God. Lord, would you stir in us a fire? Would you stir in us a longing? Would you stir in us a deep sense of need, Lord, to hear from you personally, Lord? To submit ourselves to your word, not just be hearers, but to be doers of the word, Lord God, as your scripture says, Lord God. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would speak to your people today, Lord God, that you would speak to me personally, Lord God, that you would speak to each person personally, Lord God, and that we would long to hear whatever you have to say, Lord, and long to obey it to please our Heavenly Father. We love you, Lord, and we pray that we will not be like those people, Lord God, who don't want to hear your word and find no pleasure in it, Lord God. But instead, make us a people who delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on it day and night, Lord God. That just taking your word of God like it's honey, Lord God, it's sweet to the taste and to our hearts and to our souls, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name that you would make each person that kind of an individual, Lord God. And this body, corporately. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Oh, you already are. Sometimes when I'm praying, I don't even look. Actually, we do need Bibles. Yes, thank you, Stephen. Would you go hand those out? Hezekiah, would you give him a hand? If you need a Bible today, raise your hand. We want to make sure we put one in your hands.
Raise your palm.
And this turns it on.
Palm.
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 I think I'm on now, right?
Yeah, I can.
Awesome. Hey, Joe, would you hit that light there?
Oh, no, that's all right.
You're good.
I guess I didn't write down on the board.
We are in the book of Jude. We're going to go over some announcements first. You know what's amazing? Isn't it great that we have a good father that we can look to? Maybe you didn't have a good father, or maybe you haven't been a good father, or maybe whatever, but we have a role model. We have someone we can look up to, literally, our Heavenly Father, who loves us, who cares about us, who protects us. That's amazing to me. Now you know what the worship team has to hear. You know, I kind of, if I sing up front, so nobody else can hear me as much, because I don't have the worship voice. I just kind of love to sing to the Lord. Okay, let's go over some of these announcements, and then we'll get right into the Word. Okay, actually, you know what? Steve, would you flip that light? For some reason, we can't see it well, so I just want everybody. Yeah, thanks. Okay, so those of you guys who don't know, Hillsong United is coming to USF Sundome. And that's Sunday, February 14th. I think that's this Sunday. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. They did Saturday. Got sold out, so they opened another date. I think the tickets are 29 smackaroonies. And so if you'd like to go to that, I would encourage you. If you've never heard Hillsong, it's beautiful. There's some of the ones who did, like, Oceans. You guys know that song, right? And purchase tickets. Numbers right on there. I would encourage you. It's a... it should be a wonderful time. Also, the worship night
you
that we had, that was great. What did you say, Elijah?
You should have saw it.
Yeah, you know what? We had about eight of us, or maybe, I think eight of us from our church. The youth worship event with like five of the churches, and we had one worship band there. I can't think of the name, Reliant or something with that. That was just really wonderful. It was great to see just the youth just, you know, raising their hands in worship, and it was just great to have them belting it out to the Lord. And it was just a great time of worship, man. It was just really cool. You know what? I'll tell you what was the best thing, though, of the night. It was great. Here, okay. So sometimes, you know, I stand in front. Sometimes I stand in the back. And it was great. I'm probably going to embarrass them. But it was just great to see some of the kids are, like, praising the Lord just like this. And other ones are, like, you know, worshiping. And one of them's, you know, jumping. But it was just such a cool thing, just pouring their hearts out to the Lord. But probably the most fun to me was when I stopped worshiping for a second, I looked to my left, and I'm going to make fun of him a little bit, but it was in a cool way. So here's a little Olivia. She's over in the corner worshiping the Lord. And that's right. And then I see Nate, and it was a jam worship song, and here's Nate just right by Olivia. She's just doing this. That was my favorite. Amen. I love it. So it was a wonderful night of worship. Okay, we've already gone over this stuff, so we won't go over that again. Okay, let's see. Okay, sermon audio is online. You know what? Thank you for praying this morning to you guys. You know, I'll mention it in a second, but all right, let me get to this. Men's Bible study, not this week. Women's Bible study this week, am I right? Okay, that's right. We're in the book of James, yes? All right, 6:30 for fellowship, 7 p.m. for start. Going through the book of James, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And what I do should equal what I believe. Whosoever's youth group at Manatee County Youth for Christ. We meet at 6:30 to 8:30. And we meet Manatee County Youth for Christ for the Word of God and for worship and for some pizza. Prayer and praise and... I want to just say one quick thing about this. Before we went to the night of worship with some of the other churches, we came here to pray. And one of the cool things was, to me, I was watching the teens pray. And they recently changed the format. It says 7 to 9. It actually should be, we changed the time. It's now 6:30 to 7:30. But I was watching the folks pray. And, you know, one of the things I noticed as we were praying before we went out to the worship night is that, you know, one of the teams was praying for, I don't remember if it was for you guys or the community or the persecuted church or something. And then afterwards, you know, some of the other teams were praying too. And then I couldn't help but notice, like, one of the teams was doing this. He was quiet, but he was, And so I should have hoped the best, okay, but I didn't. And so I'm thinking, man, that kid is just wanting to get to that worship thing. Just be patient. And so afterwards, after we were going out to the car, and I saw another teen put his arm on him, and what I found out afterwards was that the teen was telling me he was experiencing what's called, some of you may know what I'm talking about, some of you may not, spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. You know, he was experiencing, he was praying, his heart was beautiful, pouring out to the Lord, and he was experiencing so much condemnation from the enemy, that it was unreal. And so I didn't even know that was going on. I watched one of the other teams come, and I, I, And he was thanking. Another one of the teams came by, laid hands on him, and prayed for him. You know, and then I watched the worship night too. A bunch of the teens laid hands on another one of our teens and prayed for her. But I just want to encourage you. And I also realized, thank you so much for those who come, whether it be early this morning, there was a group gathered here praying for this body and praying for this community. There was a group on Friday night, last Friday, that was praying for this body. Thank you so much for coming and praying. And some that can't make it and pray at home, thank you for doing that. If there's that much intense spiritual warfare, the teen never experienced anything like that, so it was new for him. You know, I'm thinking, how much more is that condemnation being heaped upon those who are actively fighting the battle and in waging warfare in prayer for this community and this body? Thank you for doing that. And I pray, in Jesus' name, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. This Friday, Kingdom Living Group Forum. Is that at Sue's house or Diane's house?
Diane's
house. Okay, Diane, where are you? I see you somewhere over there. You are. Hi, Diane. And also, we send out scripture verses, reminders for Bible studies, things like that, and also some of the word or worship. If you would like to be on that list, just let me know. We'll be happy to do that. We'll put you on that list. Okay, in the book of Jude. Thanks. That's near the backs of your Bible. Oh, the video. Okay, if you're joining us for the first time. Okay. Okay, all right. We're going to do the video.
I'll remind
okay.
you all week. Promise.
Okay, we left off roughly. I will do the video momentarily. Give me just 2 seconds. Okay, we've gone through this entire massive book. We've been here about 2 months, and we're up to about verse, I don't know, maybe about verse 10. But one of the things we were talking about is Sodom and Gomorrah. And last week we talked about the sexual immorality. We talked about a lot of tough topics. So if you brought a new person last week, they were probably cringing. But there were things that needed to be said, so let me zip there real quick. All right, here we go. Just one more second. We talked about some tough stuff. There we go. We talked about running from sexual sin, that no other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body, is what it says in Corinthians chapter 6. We talked about Ephesians 5, how you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or is covetous has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Man, that is so powerful. You know, someone thanked me afterwards. Actually, a few people thanked me for just sharing the word of God so strongly, you know, on this issue of sexual immorality. It's running rampant in our church, rampant in our community, and that's not of the Lord. That clearly says no one who does that, who lives that life, inherits the kingdom of God. Zoinks. That's a strong word, isn't it? But that's not my word. It's God's word. That's why he said in the pursuit of purity, Colossians 3:5 says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. That's some strong stuff. Put it to death. Kill it. Get rid of it. Cut the sin off. You know, there's a time when Jesus was talking in Matthew, and he says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. If your eye causes you to, you know, gouge it out, throw it away. Now, he's not talking about literally maiming yourself, of course. What he's saying is, if your hand's causing you to sin, cut it off. People like, here's what they like to do. They like to poke at it. So it hurts. If your eye causes you to sin, you know, poke at it a little bit. So you're a little uncomfortable. That's not what God's word says. God's word says, strong to us, because he knows that we're all weak in this area. Cut it off, right? Mm-hmm. Completely, yes? Mm-hmm. Completely. And then do what with it? Throw it away! Mm-hmm. Because he knows we're weak people. We're going to pick it up. Hey, there's the hand. I just put it right back on you. No, get it away from us. That's what he's saying. You talk about, you know, it's not about just not touching and not looking. God says we're not even to be lusting after people. If we've done that, we've already committed adultery in our hearts. We talked about how the marriage bed should be honored by all, and it's not today. God's going to judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral.
That's his promise. Yikes, you won't find that on a bumper sticker, but that's true. Talked about sanctification. We talked about homosexuality in the Bible. Oh, yeah, I'll wait on that one.
Whoa.
Okay.
That's scary.
And one of the things we talked about in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, it describes this destruction in Genesis 19. But in Genesis chapter 13, before it was destroyed, it says that, and I'll read it to you. It's Genesis chapter 13. I think it's, just a second. Genesis chapter 13, I think it's verses 10. Here, 11, give me a second here. It was when Abraham and Lot were parting ways. It says that, in verse 10 of Genesis 13, Lot looked up and saw the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, the land of Egypt towards Zoar. This was before Lot destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
No, before the Lord.
What did I say? Before the Lord. You guys know what I meant. Okay. And it says, then it says later on, verse 13, it says that now the men of Sodom were wicked and they were sinning greatly against the Lord. So basically, Sodom and Gomorrah was like a well-watered garden. Picture the Garden of Eden. This was like that, flourishing, teeming with life. Now they've recently discovered, you know, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. I've told you about that. You know, all the places where they found the roofs had been burned. You know, Scripture says how, you know, people in the past hadn't believed them. How can it be raining fire? How can it rain liquid fire? And so now as they're discovering this, they're finding that all the areas around there, all the rooftops were burned from the roof down. Okay, not from inside up, from the roof down, seared. And if you look at this place now, it's down by Masada in Israel, down by the Dead Sea. They dammed up the Jordan River that flows into it, so some of it has receded, and that's where they found some of these cities now. And the whole place is a barren wasteland. Whatever happened there, when God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, there's a rift that goes from there, pretty much around Syria, one-fifth the circumference of the earth, goes right down through the Dead Sea, right down through Sodom and Gomorrah, all the way down into North Africa. One-fifth the circumference of the earth. What happened there was no small matter. And so one of the things I said, I know this is a lot of background. We're going to show a video. There's not any talking in it, so it's not like one of my cool videos. It's just, I just want to show you some of the things, what it looks like now. This well-watered garden, lush, teeming with life, all these years later, still what it looks like. Okay? And we're also going to see some things about sulfur and what they found right in that region. And so, George, if you wouldn't mind queuing that up. And, yeah, Joe, would you mind? And Lord willing, I know we were having a little technical problems earlier. If not, I tried with the video.
I will remind you every day until you play.
No, don't do that, please.
Sorry, that's what you get.
Okay. Otherwise, I'll start singing again. You're a good, good friend.
No,
see who we are.
Find it.
That's what I'm playing on the radio.
Hey, who said that? Well, if not, if you can't find it in the next, like, 60 seconds, I'm just going to go on, and then when you do find it, then I'll let you get back to me.
Something, I don't know.
Okay. All right. I'm hitting the lights, George.
You talk, I'll look.
Okay, that sounds good. All right. Thanks, Steve.
Wow, Dad, for the video. 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 Dad, for the...
All right. Okay, so let's go back and let's talk about some of the things. We were talking about false teachers, man. Folks, they're prideful. He's talking about these false teachers because people follow them. I don't know what it is about false teachers or people who don't teach the Word of God right or just flat out lie or are arrogant. People love to follow them. It's the weirdest thing. You know, this world does not respect humility. Well, of course, I shouldn't be surprised at that, but it doesn't even respect truth. Even in the Christian churches, there's something about us, our DNA, Warren Wiersbe said, that we love to know, we love to buy into a lie. And I don't know why that is, you know, because Satan is, he's the king of liars. And so it says here, we're down in verse 11 of Jude. It's going to give us basically three examples. And I don't know if you guys know these examples, but let's read them real quick. Can somebody read for me verses, just verses 11. Who would read that for me, please? Okay, thanks.
Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of Korah.
Okay, so here's what these guys are like. Now, can I ask, I just want you to be honest. We're very open and we're very honest here. So if I were to ask you guys, how many people, just show me by your hands, know the story, could probably repeat the story back of Balaam and Balak? Raise your hand.
Oh, Balak? Oh, yeah.
Okay, how many could tell the story of Cain and Abel? A few more there. Okay, and how many about Korah and his rebellion? Okay, not enough. Okay, do you guys mind, what I was going to do is share this. Do you mind if we read this? Because there's not enough folks who really know the story. And all this stuff is really relevant. You know, when he's referring back to the Old Testament, he's expecting us to know this. All right, so let's go. And you guys are going to tell me what this is. The first one he talks about, he goes, woe to them. These false teachers are leading people astray right and left. You know, they have taken the way of Cain. Okay, so let's start with that. Let's go to Genesis 4. And we're going to read just a portion of it. And then you tell me, we'll go over, I want you to tell me what the way of Cain is. Okay? Let's go to Genesis chapter 4. Okay. You know the story of Abel and the Cain and Abel? They were Adam's kids. Okay, I need a good reader who doesn't mind reading for a few minutes. Good. You guys, one of you two? We'll go. Just start in chapter 4, verse 1. And see if you can tell me what the way of Cain is. Okay, what you think it is as we read it. Okay? Let's go ahead.
Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel.
I'm going to try not to teach this. Yeah, okay, just shut up. Okay, keep going. Just keep going.
Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain.
Well, that's good enough right there. But actually, I'll read a few more. Sorry, keep going.
Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper?
By the way, Ephesians 4:50, I'm just saying, yes, you are your brother's keeper. Okay, anyway, keep going. Sorry.
The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth.
Okay, and if you go a little bit later on, where it talks about Cain, it says that Cain then built a city. And so So basically, you tell me, okay, we have two offerings. Okay, we know the story of Adam and Eve and how the shedding of blood. The Lord clothed them with an animal. Okay, you know this. What do you think was the way of Cain? Two brothers brought their offerings before the Lord. What do you think? One was rejected and one was not. What do you think the way of Cain is? You tell me. Or maybe yes, there's multiple answers.
Selfish.
What is it?
Selfishness.
Selfishness? Okay, why?
Because he wouldn't give his first fruits.
He wouldn't give the first fruits of his crops. Oh, it says he gave some of them. Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, when he got the best of it.
And he didn't say yes. God wants the first fruits. That's right. Okay, good. What else? Okay, I'll do that in just a second. What else? Who said that?
Jealousy.
Jealousy? At what? Where do you see that? It doesn't say that specifically.
It's in her. His brother's offering was accepted by the Lord, and it wasn't good enough in his mind.
That's right.
He didn't get first.
That's good. It's jealousy. Okay, what else?
And also, because it wasn't accepted, why wasn't it accepted is the thing here. And I think it's because it was what is referred to as an empty sacrifice. In other words, he just offered it without faith, because it tells us in Hebrews that it was a lack of faith that was the problem with Cain. And when he offered his sacrifice, which we all do at times, we'll offer something to the Lord, but it's empty. In other words, our heart and our faith is not mixed with that sacrifice. And I think that's why it wasn't accepted by the Lord.
All right, good. In fact, Revelation 2:15, it also is when he's talking to the church of Pergamon. Let me make sure if that was Balaam. Hold on a second. I think that's Balaam. Give me a second. But it does talk about the way of Cain. Yeah, that's Balaam. Okay. So what else? So we've got jealousy, we've got anger. What else? Yeah.
He was focused on himself. I mean, he was competing with his brother. He wasn't concerned about his relationship with God.
Oh, but I thought these sacrifices were for the Lord. Huh. Do you think we do that today?
Mm-hmm. I think we get caught up in that, sure. We want to be... I think it's easy in this society where we don't know how to be vulnerable and open about who we are. We want to be who other people think we should be, and we're afraid to be actually who we are. We're afraid to be open because, you know, we're afraid of vulnerability in this society.
It also goes back to what Adam was saying, you know, when it says that selfishness. You know what? Was he focused on the Lord? Or was he focused on himself? When you come here, can I ask you a question? I don't know the answer. Are you focused on the Lord? Or are you focused on something else? You know what I mean? When you're going to work, when you're offering those sacrifices, when you're dying, are you focusing on the Lord? Is it really for him? Or is it to put on some sort of show? Because when all is said and done, none of that show matters. It matters what you're going to be standing before you and Christ alone. That's what matters. And he's going to not just weigh what you've done. Remember the Pharisees? They were all, the disciples said, how are we supposed to be as righteous as the Pharisees for crying out loud? And Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that, the Pharisees. How can we do that? Jesus Christ. Those are good. I saw some hands go up here. Yes?
Yeah, one little side note first. I think Cain and Abel were twins.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. But Abel's sacrifice was a blood sacrifice and Cain's wasn't.
Yes.
That's the key to the
whole thing. There's probably a prescribed way. I think that the Lord said, hey, I want to be worshipped. And one followed it and one didn't. Good, yes, ma'am.
Well, I read a comment one time recently that what it was saying that Cain hated his brethren.
Yes.
Jealousy, selfishness, whatever, but he hated the brethren.
Mm-hmm.
And that resulted that those that hate their brethren, their family, actually actually end up destroying them by murder or killing them. And the point was, we need, as Christians, to be careful that we don't end up hating our brethren. Yes. We should destroy each other if we don't have the love of God.
That's amen. In fact, it's 1 John chapter 3 says this in verse 11. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should not, excuse me, we should love one another. And then it says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And then it says, why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Good. Anybody else? Okay.
I think rebellion, like God actually spoke to Cain about his bad attitude and everything, and so his like response is to go kill his brother.
Yes.
Like, oh, you're going to correct me? Well, I'm going to go do what I want.
Yes. What?
Lack of humility. I don't know if I'm using correct, but like God, even though he did it the wrong way, God, to me it looks like he's being very tender and gentle with him. He's rebuking him, you know, like a father corrects his
like
children.
A good father. Sorry, yes.
He tells us in his word that he chastises those who he loves, and it looks like he's being a tender father here to Cain and correcting him, and he was not humble to it. He did not receive it.
So maybe pride is in there, you think?
Pride,
okay, good. Hezekiah?
He was also probably a hypocrite because he's like offering to the Lord, basically just trying to get like attention or something.
He just wanted to get the best. Yeah, good, Jackson.
Well, if you're talking about not the part where he killed Abel, but the sacrifice, it shows disrespect to God, Cain did, because Abel, he was giving God his best, and he was showing, look, God, you're important to me. But Abel was not giving God his best crops and his best fruit. He was saying, look, God, I think you're kind of important, but I don't respect you enough to give you my very best.
That's right. Amen. That's exactly right. And when he was corrected, what did he do? He got all ticked off. Hey, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, Amanda Panda, back to that. Oh, is that little Soph? Soph, were you raising your hand on it? Aww. What is it, Soph? Tell me.
I think that Cain thinks he's better than Abel.
Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right. It's a lot of pride. Manly.
I think it's all about the heart. If the heart is right, all of the actions that follow will be right. But even when your heart is wrong, no matter what actions you take, no matter how good you try to be, no matter how much self-effort you put into it, it just isn't going to work.
Yeah.
The what is it? This, the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. That's it.
You know, there's some of those things you mentioned in there. Oh, now we got the thing up. Actually, George, I need my... Sorry. I'm going to finish these thoughts, and I'll go back to that. I know you're like, no, I just got it working.
No.
Just minimize it. You'll see it. You'll see it.
Can we see the movie? Can we see the movie? Can we
go back to June for a second.
Please.
You're a good... Good, thanks. Okay, so here's what it says about anger. One of these things, you know, the way of Cain is the way of anger, too. You know, and James, you guys know some of these scriptures, right? The way of anger. Listen, if you're losing it with your husband, or you're losing it with your wife, listen, if you're losing it with your husband at 7 times of the month, can I tell you something? It's still not okay. If you're losing it with your wife, or your kids, and you've had a really terrible day, can I tell you something, men? It is not okay. If you're out there at your work and somebody, your boss, is just riding you wrong, and it's been a terrible whatever, you know what it is, can I tell you something? It's still not okay to give that vanity thing. And my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. James 1:19-20 says, everyone, if you're a believer, should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become what?
Angry.
Because why? Yes. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Listen, it's not okay.
What kind of anger does?
I would say like a righteous anger.
It's like human anger.
So I would say, I come up here and start preaching false stuff, and you're getting really angry at me. And I'm leading people astray. Well, that's kind of a righteous anger from the Lord. Does that make you understand the difference?
Yeah.
You know, can anybody think of any scriptures other than that about anger that comes to mind?
When Jesus turned over the money changers' table,
yeah,
and said, "You have turned my Father's house from a house of prayer to a den of thieves."
Yes, good. Yes. That's on your heart too? That's exactly right. Yes, that's a righteous anger, man. These people were marketing the things of God. We're going to talk about that in a minute with Balaam. But they were using the things of God and selling it. Can you imagine God's people, pastors, churches is focusing on money? Wouldn't that be crazy?
Well,
oh my goodness, don't you see that all over the place?
It's
all over the place. Who?
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus there? No, I think it says, I actually think it says that.
We can be angry over the false teaching that's in the church today.
Absolutely. You can be angry. The Bible says you can be angry, but sin not in your anger. Okay? That's why he's given us the Holy Spirit. Because, listen, oh, I just can't control my anger. Not true. He's given us the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, if you're born again, then you can, by the power of Jesus Christ, right? Because one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control.
Amen.
Now, it might be harder for you because you've got a lot of baggage. It might be harder for you because you grew up in that kind of environment. But you are not a slave to that sin anymore if you are born again in Jesus Christ. You're not.
Most of us are controlled by the phone. You can be angry and it just went all on the phone ring.
Hi. Hi! I'm so angry with you! Hello? I've just kind of learned to be honest, and sometimes it frustrates my wife. Like, guests come over, we happen to be in a fight. Like, hey, how you doing? Well, we're in a fight right now. We're working it through. I'm just honest. We're working it through. Come on in.
I love it.
So the way of Cain is a way of anger. It does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So if you're struggling with that, God's with you, but it's not okay to give that full thing to the anger. Okay? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have something you want to say to me?
Well, I think so. You know, when I look at Cain, I understand him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think his anger wasn't full out. There it is in his face. It was a subtle, slow fading into entitlement. You know, he was the firstborn, after all.
Yeah.
And in that culture, he deserved, in that culture, the greatness and the honor, even bestowed by his earthly father. So why wouldn't it be so of his heavenly father? And I think Satan just told him 99% of the truth, and then 1%. It wasn't like, gosh, I'm an angry man. It was just, wait a minute. I'm the firstborn. What's wrong with me? I was created to be a farmer, if you will. That's what God instilled with me, so why are you not accepting my offering? He was lied to enough to say, I'm good enough in what you made me. I'm good enough in my position, but failing to see what the heart of God had in store for him. Even the prodigal son's brother was angry because his entitlement wasn't fulfilled. You know, I've been here all along. What is the deal? And I think we get lost as Christians, particularly in our entitlement, that we have walked with God and we've fellowshiped with God and look what I've done already all these years for God.
Yeah.
And we forget that in the heat of the moment or in the heart of the moment, God has plans for us that might be greater than what we have believed ourselves.
Yes, and no matter how long we've walked with the Lord, you know, there are times when we can be selfish. Can I just tell you something?
Yeah.
Sometimes your pastor can be selfish.
Yeah.
You're laughing. We know. No, but I'm just saying, we can all be that way apart from the Lord. You know what causes, this is what it says in James, you know what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want, and so you quarrel and fight. And then when you do have, excuse me, you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. I think that's important. But I think what you're saying is right. Exactly. And that leads to another of the way of the Cain. I think it also includes jealousy. You know, jealousy, the definition is a fear of rivalry. It's you know, and that's what was happening, I think, with Cain and Abel. Proverbs 27:4 says this, anger is cruel and fury is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? There's something about that person. And that gets in your head. It gets in your head. Maybe you're jealous of your brother or your sister or position. You know what? Don't be jealous of me because I'm up here preaching and teaching the word. I'm here because the Lord's called me to be here, humbly so. I don't even think I should, but He's called me to do this. And so I do it. Same thing with the worship. There's no jockeying for Gary's not. I'm not, you know, I don't want to be first or whatever. You know, Josh, since he's not here today with the kids, but you know, Josh gave the word a few weeks ago, and one of the brothers in here is like, you know what? I like the way Josh teaches even better than you. So I rebuked him harshly. And so instead of, you know, getting all mad or trying to, I'm going to knock Josh down, I've seen this in tons of churches. Terrible.
Yeah.
You know what? I actually brought this person over to Josh and said, hey, I just want to introduce, you know, this person. I just want to encourage you because this person really liked your teaching. You're better than mine. You know what? And my goal is to build up my brother.
Right.
So let those jealous feelings go away. What does it matter? I want each of you to succeed and be encouraged, be equipped. Wonderful. I love it that Josh is starting to teach the youth. Love it. I'm not in competition. I want to see him be all he could be in Christ.
Amen.
That's how we should be towards one another, isn't it?
Yes.
Don't let that jealousy consume you, because it will. It'll rot your heart from the inside out. A lot of times we talk about sins, right? And we're talking about pornography and alcoholism and drugs. But sometimes sipping that little cup of jealousy will poison you from the inside out.
Yes.
We'll talk about that. There's another scripture about rotting your bones. And then there's the perils of pride, of self. You're going, man, listen, there's Proverbs 14:12 says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Cain's like, hey, I think I want to do it this way. You get these fruits. I know about the blood sacrifice, whatever. I'm going to do it this way. And a lot of times when we go to the Word of God, we go to God, we want to do it our own way, not God's way. You can't pick and choose the smorgasbord. You can't have the Bible buffet. You have to take all of it. That's His way. If I had my way, in all honesty, I would have just had a couple of people in a nice living room. That's what I was comfortable with. I'm just being honest. I didn't want to go get it. You know, that's not what I desired. I was comfy there. I was happy. It was very intimate. But then, what does God want? God says, I want to open it up. I didn't want the sign. I didn't. Those of you who've been here for more than 2 years, I refused to put it. There was a wall here. I didn't want to put down the wall because maybe more people would come. I never get what I want. But anyway, but the point is, it's more. But I have to ask myself, God, what do you want in this situation? And that's what we need to ask ourselves. God, what do you want? Because Abel, even though he died, even though he was killed, you know what? His today, his faith in the Lord, his trust in the Lord speaks to us today as an example to follow. Yet Cain, man, just speaks to us of jealousy, envy, rot, and deceit. Yes?
I'm sorry, I had to say this.
Go ahead and say it.
Can I use a donkey
one time? Well, that's going to be next, so you're absolutely right. That's Balaam. And he did. You know, that was the first time I ever taught. It was about 20 years ago in 1 John. And before I went in to teach, I was teaching at 1 John chapter 1. The first thing somebody said to me was, I didn't want to go in and teach. I was too nervous. And they said, the Lord spoke through, I'll say donkey, but you know what the word. The Lord spoke through a donkey to people, and so he's doing the same thing here. You know? So, honestly, amen.
You said God doesn't have a sense of
You know, there's a book called, it's a secular book called Habits of the Heart, and it was a sociological study on Americans see themselves. And there was a term that was coined They're called Sheilaism. And it came from this girl, Sheila Larson, at least that was the name they gave her, of a young nurse that they interviewed. And she told the sociologist that though she couldn't remember the last time she even went to church, she believed in God. And she had a private, personal faith that she called Sheilaism. And it's just, she said, my own little voice, quote unquote. And it says that tenets, it's just to try to love yourself and be gentle with yourself. And Sheilaism has become synonymous with that view, held by, according to a Gallup poll, 80% of Americans. In other words, I believe what I want to believe. Listen, if you do that, you're making idols with your own hands. Yeah. You're just doing it in your head. Yeah. You can't choose to be what God... You have to choose who he is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The results of pride... I don't know. We don't have time to go over all these things, do we? No. But the results of pride, God's opposition, James 4:6, says that he opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 16:5, it says, God will detest you as the results of those pride, thinking, I'll go my own way, I'll do my own thing. I'm better than this person. Whatever the case may be, I deserve it. Listen, you deserve nothing. It says it will lead to disgrace, Proverbs 11:2, destruction, Proverbs 16:18, dissension and division, Proverbs 13:10, a ruined life, Proverbs 29:1, and poverty and shame, Proverbs 13:18. Psalm 115:4 to 8, speaking of idolaters, says their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak, eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they don't hear, noses, but don't smell. They have hands, but they don't feel, feet, but they don't walk. And they do not make a sound in their throat. Yet those who make them will become like them. Those who make them will become like them. So do all who trust in them. Whatever you want your God to be, you're going to become like that. Or you can become what he's asked you to be. And what he's showing you can be. He's an amazing God and has amazing things for you if you'll bend your knee to him. That's another script on my screen. Okay.
The movie?
No. The next person on that list that we talked about, you mentioned Balaam, is also in that same verse. So we're going to go there real quick. Lord, hold on a second. Okay, we're going to read it. Go to Numbers chapter 22. You're a good... Sorry. Now you know what goes on in my head. Can you imagine that? Oh, Lord. I think it's Numbers 22. Can you just escape the cat's tail? Yeah, it is. Okay. Now, the children of Israel just defeated Sihon and also Og. And he was a 13-foot tall guy. And Sihon was the king of the Amorites. And so, anyway, the Israelites were in the desert defeating all these people. And so the king of Moab, Balak, he was like, man, these people are everywhere. He's like, they're going to consume all the water and the crops. We got to get rid of them. And so, when it talks about Jude, about the sin of Balaam, this is what it's talking about in Numbers 22. So let's go and start in chapter 22. Have another reader who doesn't mind reading, a good reader. Okay, Mealy? Numbers 22. And don't worry about that. You just say in that Puerto Rican Hebrew way and just continue with the... But the words you don't know.
Then the Israelites traveled to the plains of Moab and camped along the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak, son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was terrified because there were so many people. Indeed, Moab was filled with dread because of the Israelites. The Moabites said to the elders of Midian, this horde is going to lick up everything around us, as an ox licks up the grass of the field. So Balak, son of Zippor, who was king of Moab at that time, sent messengers to summon Balaam, son of Beor, who was at Pethor, near the river, in his native land. And Balak said, "A people has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the land and have settled next to me. Now come and put a curse on these people, because they are too powerful for me. Perhaps then I will be able to defeat them and drive them out of the country. For I know that those you bless are blessed, and those you curse are cursed." The elders of Moab and Midian left, taking with them the fee for divination. When they came to Balaam, they told him what Balak had said. "Spend the night here," Balaam said to them, "and I will bring you back the answer the Lord gives me." So the Moabite princes stayed with him. God came to Balaam and asked, "Who are these men with you?" Balaam said to God, "Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent me this message. A people that has come out of Egypt covers the face of the land. Now come and put a curse on them for me. Perhaps then I will be able to fight them and drive them away." But God said to Balaam, "Do not go with them. You must not put a curse on those people, because they are blessed." The next morning, Balaam got up and said to Balak's princes, "Go back to your own country, for the Lord has refused to let them go with you, or let me go with you." Sorry. So the Moabite.
You know what? Can I just? There are certain things that you really don't need to ask the Lord. Now you always hear me. You need to ask the Lord everything. Okay, I don't need to ask the Lord if I should commit adultery. I don't need to go pray about that.
But it feels right.
So, but I feel it in my heart. You know, listen. If someone's, so here, this king is saying, "Yeah, I know this is God's people. I know you're a prophet. You know, I even recognize his power. So I just want you to go curse all of them in his name. If you could do that, that'd be great." He didn't need to go pray, "Lord, do you want me to curse your people that you just freed from Egypt in bondage of slavery?
No.
With your mighty right hand as you're leading them, the cloud and the fire. You know, do you want me to do that?" There's certain things we don't need to pray about. So this kind of, to me, exposes his heart a little bit. Okay? Like, what, you know. Anyway, okay, I'm sorry, keep going. Sorry, what verse are we at?
13.
Okay, so we're on 15?
I don't know. So the Moabite princes returned to Balak and said, "Balaam refused to come with us." Then Balak sent other princes, more numerous and more distinguished than the first. They came to Balaam and said, "This is what Balak, son of Zippor, says. Do not let anything keep you from coming to me, because I will reward you handsomely and do whatever you say. Come and put a curse on these people for me." But Balaam answered them.
Now listen to this. This verse sounds so good. I'm like, yeah, finally, he's rising up. Okay, but listen to the rest of it. Keep going.
"Even if Balak gave me this palace filled with silver and gold,
hint, hint,
I could not do anything great or small to go beyond the command of the Lord my God."
Now that sounds good, doesn't it?
Sure.
You're like, yeah,
there's a man of God.
Wait, verse 19.
"Now stay here tonight as the others did, and I will find out what else the Lord will tell me."
Oh,
he
already said no. How many times, though, have we done that? God has said no to you, right? But Lord, maybe if I pray again in another way, if God speaks something to you, you know the answer. He knows what's best for your life. Don't keep going back. Try to convince him. All right, keep going.
"That night, God came to Balaam and said, 'Since these men have come to summon you, go with them, but do only what I tell you.' Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. She turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat her to get her back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between two vineyards with walls on both sides. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat her again. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam, and he was angry and beat her with his staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?"
Now listen, I'm just saying. You know, we have animals. We've got five dogs, okay? And maybe some of you have had animals. If you've ever lost your temper, okay, you know, maybe the dogs chewed up the carpet or pooped on the new, you know, rug that you just had, whatever the case may be. Okay, so your wife's beating you. No, and so I lose your temper with the dog. And I just imagine if the dog turned to me and said, "Hey, what are you doing? Haven't I always been a good dog to you? Don't I bark at the door when people come? Don't I usually go?" I would have a heart attack. I'd go into cardiac arrest. I'd probably drop dead right there. But you know, when you're angry, logic doesn't make sense. Like, you know when the enemy's pouring that fuel on your anger? You know when you're getting so mad? You know what I'm talking about. You're not even thinking straight. So, Balaam, look at verse 29. He answers the donkey. Okay, go ahead. Verse 29.
Balaam answered the donkey, "You have made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now."
Balaam's art like he's talked to donkeys before.
Yeah, he doesn't
you know?
Care.
And, he's
like, I'm just a donkey. Like, who cares?
And who would, you know, who would kill... I'm just saying, carnally here, who would kill a talking donkey? You know what I'm saying? Okay. Anyway.
You could earn more money after that than what King Balak was paying.
Yes, go ahead.
The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" "No," he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. The angel of the Lord asked him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me." The donkey saw me and turned away.
I'll just stop you there. Now, you can read the rest of them, 22 to 25, and then there's also one in verse like 30, chapter 30 and 31. Basically, what happens is God says, "Okay, you want to go so bad, go, but only speak what I tell you." So a bunch of times he goes out there to curse the people, and he just can't, and he blesses them. And Og, the king of Bashan, is getting so mad, and so you keep blessing him! I tell you to curse him, you bless him! And he keeps doing it, and doing it. And then finally, you know, the king is so angry, he gives up. So Balaam, because he wants the money, because he is what? Filled with?
Greed.
He tells him another way. Do you guys remember how he did that? He told them another way, and he said, "Here's what to do. You're never going to get God to curse his people. You can't do it. So here's what you do. I want you can get them to lust. And so what I'm going to do, you know, get all the foreign women before the Israelite guys, and as they're getting all hot and heavy there, start to introduce some idolatry in their lives. And you know what's going to happen? It'll corrupt them, and God will have to rebuke them." And that's exactly what happens. And so Balaam is known. He was later killed by the Israelites. But, man, that's Balaam's error, man. It was greed. He was filled with greed. And I see so much of that in people and in churches, and I think it gives the opposite picture of who Jesus is. Luke 12:15 said, Jesus said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, because life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Is that true or not?
Yes.
Yes. And then there's one guy who, you know how they say you can't take it with you? There's one guy who did. His name was Korah. And you can go to number 16, and this is the last thing, is Korah's rebellion.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, go ahead.
When he went and asked again to God, it's like when kids ask their parents
one time and they say no, and then they ask again.
That's right.
Try and get a different answer.
Yes, that's right. Dad, can I go start a fire outside? No, honey. How about if I try to start a small fire? No, honey. I really want to start a small fire. I'll be careful.
I'll only do it once.
Only do it one time. No.
It's foolish. Don't ask again before you got an answer.
It is kind of foolish, isn't it? It's just us wanting our own way, the way of Cain, or the way of Balaam. We're greedy. We want what we want. We live in an instant society, don't we? We want what we want. If we don't get it right now, we get angry. Lester.
Back in verse 20, when Balaam asked God for the second time, and God said, if, verse 20, the men come to call you, rise up and go with them. You know, but then verse 21, he did not fulfill the if. The men did not come and call him. The next thing we see, he rose up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went. Yeah. So he jumped ahead and didn't even fulfill the conditions that God gave to him.
That's right. That's exactly right. And we can fall into that same error, can't we? This last one is a story of Korah.
Oh.
You guys might remember the story. If I could just have one more reader who's not afraid to read. Be not afraid.
Where are we?
Oh, we are in Numbers chapter 16.
Four.
Okay, who wants to... Who, okay, go ahead.
Four or
15? Numbers chapter 16. This is Korah's rebellion. And there's a lot of fun words in here, so do the best you can.
Korah, son of Izhar, the son of...
Yeah, go ahead. Just jump to verse 2.
Son of
certain... It's not easy, is it?
Yep, it rose up against Moses. With them were 250 Israelite men, well-known community leaders who had been appointed members of the council. They came as a group to oppose Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You have gone too far. The whole community is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourselves above the Lord's assembly?" With Moses, when Moses heard this, he fell face down. Then he said to Korah and to all his followers, "In the morning the Lord will show who belongs to him and who is holy, and he will have that person come near him. The man he chooses will cause to, he will cause to come near him. You, Korah, and all your followers are to do this. Take censers and tomorrow put burning coals and incense in them before the Lord. The man the Lord chooses will be the one who is holy. You Levites have gone too far." Moses also said to Korah, "Now listen, you Levites. Isn't it enough for you that God, the God of Israel, has separated you from the rest of the Israelite community and brought you near himself to do the work at the Lord's tabernacle and to stand before them, stand before the community and minister to them?"
Basically, man, these guys are already Levites. They've already got a place. But they're wanting more. They're wanting to be like Moses. "Hey, we're just as spiritual as you. We should be leading too. We're just as important as you are." And to save us all this, there's a lot. You can read it for yourself. But go jump down, if you would, to, let me go down to maybe verse, let's just say 31. Let's cut to the chase and see what happens. So Moses just gathers all the people. He says, "Hey, Korah, you gather all your leaders who are constantly grumbling, complaining, fault-finding, all those who want to be in charge, all those who aren't content, whatever it is. You bring them all, have them stand right here in the circle. Get their families, get the 250 leaders, bring them all out here. Let's just say, if you want to be the man, you be the man. Let's just leave it before God. If God is calling me to lead this, then let him, you know, if he's not, let him take me down. If he's calling you to do this, since you're not happy with just serving the Lord, you want to be the leaders too, then how about the Lord take you down?" "Yeah, that's great. Yeah, yeah, yeah." Okay, so, there you go. Verse 31.
Oh, no.
As soon as he finished saying all this, the ground under them broke apart and and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them and their households and all those associated with Korah, together with their possessions. They went down alive into the realm of the dead with everything they owned. The earth closed over them, and they perished and were gone from the community.
Wow. Ramos. You know, what does that say? What do you think, then, as you read that? What do you think is Korah's rebellion? What are the sins that you see in that? What are the sins you see? What?
Rebelling against authority.
Whose authority, ultimately? God's authority. Good. What else?
Jealousy again.
Envy.
Pride.
See these recurring themes here, guys?
Yes.
What? Yeah, good. What else? Anything? I think those are good, man. Man, Korah's rebellion, man. Just envy. You know, when you're just wanting what someone else had, it kills your joy. Psalm 37, 1 through 2. Does somebody read that for me? Mark, I don't know if you're raising your hand or you just haven't. Used, but Psalm 37, 1 through 2. Marie? Go ahead.
37, 1 to 2?
Yep, Psalm 37, 1 through 2.
Do not fret because of those who are evil or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away.
A lot of times we can be so envious of people. He has this, they have this, whatever. Don't worry about those things. Even the wicked, if they're prospering, let it go. They're going to wither and die. God has granted you eternal life. Nothing is worth more than that. He's given you the ultimate gift. He's given you himself. He's given you his Holy Spirit. Wow! Such a deal! Anything you have in this world can't compare it with that. That envy will kill you. Kill your joy. Proverbs 14:30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones.
I think it's interesting that with, you know, how all this fits together with Sodom and Gomorrah, because it says in Ezekiel that Sodom and Gomorrah's sin was not only sexual immorality.
That's correct.
But that it says, now this is the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help poor and needy. They were haughty,
yes,
and did detestable things before the Lord.
That's Ezekiel chapter 16, by the way, roughly 44 to 50. So if you're looking at that, that's right. That's exactly right. It's the same things. That can lead us astray from the Lord. Are you a prideful person? When folks try to give you instructions, do you listen? Do you rebel against authority? Is that your first thing? Or are you trusting in the Lord that he's in charge and his authority is over all? Are you jealous when somebody does well? Are you jealous of some? Are you envious of them? Maybe their gifts, maybe their... is that a part of your life? Are you greedy? Are you always wanting more? Another thing that I see, I don't know if it's just me, is trusting in the Lord that he is sufficient. Korah's not content. He's a Levite. He's a leader. He's respected. He's got it all. He just doesn't have what Moses has. He's not content with what he has.
It reminds me of Satan. Satan wasn't content. God had given, made him beautiful. And he wasn't content, was he?
Right.
He wanted what God, he wanted.
Always. You know, Rockefeller said this one time. Rockefeller, they asked him in an interview, a newspaper interview, hey, you know, let me think of the exact question, see if I can remember. How much is enough? That's exactly right. How much is enough? And he said, just a little bit more. But as Christians, we can even do that same thing. We cannot be content with what God has us. You know, I was thinking about this little church, you know. Whereas a little church, you don't have all the cool, amazing stuff that a big church would have. Are you content? So, thank you. Right. There's got to be humility. There's got to be contentment. God will do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. Be content with what you have. Yes.
I was just encouraging a friend this weekend that
It's interesting, the more time you actually spend with God and seek God, the more content you just naturally become as a fruit of that. Whereas the less time you spend with God,
the more dissatisfied,
the more discontent you are.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, I want to teach the women. I think I know more. I think I could do a better job teaching than the pastor. I can play better drums than Dave. I need to be up there. I can start a ministry. I can start a group like Sue can. Well, I can teach like you name it, whatever. Just be content. Yes, Dave.
Who all needs all that hype and hurrah and stuff like that? As long as we have each other in the Lord, that's all that matters.
You know what? How true that is. But it gets lost. You know, Hebrews 13:5 says, just be content with what you have. You know, and here's another one. I didn't know which one to use. It's the same scripture. But to me, that reminded me of a soap bubble in Ecclesiastes. You know, it would say meaningless, meaningless. I'm trying to remember the Hebrew. But basically, it was like soap bubbles, soap bubbles. You know, you ever had, if you have the kids, you blow those bubbles, you have a little bubble maker, right? They go to get them, and they have these cool big balls and stuff, and then they get them, they're not there. And they're looking at their hands, hey, where'd it go? And you running after all this stuff, just like Saul, ran after that, popularity, women, men, prestige, even in Christian communities, I want to be this, you know, superstar instead of the super servant. You know, they're running after it. Soap bubbles. It's nothing. Vanity, vanity. Soap bubbles, soap bubbles. Be content with what you have. 1 Timothy 6, 6-8 says this. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought how much into the world? Nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. Except for Korah, but you know, it all went down with him to the pit. But you know what I mean. This says, but if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. Yes, I saw some hands raised, so go ahead.
Another warning we have to be careful of when God
swallowed up those 250, the people started to grumble and blame Moses. And God brought judgment of almost 15,000 more dead.
Yeah.
Welcome to
be careful.
Yes.
Be careful.
Agreed. Yes, good. That's good.
I've got two things. The first thing is if you're proud, you know, like, oh, I could do that much, like, she can't, so why don't you just do it and, like, make your ministry and then have people, like, and teach the word, like, why?
Why be envious? Why be jealous? Why, instead, why not just serve? How about that? Isn't that a good word?
And the second thing is there a different between, like, being content and wanting something, like...
Yes, I think there is. Maybe
like, we want a playground back there.
Right. Okay, that's a good question. Is there a difference between wanting something and being content? You know what? Yes. Now, here's the thing. You guys know I've wanted that little patio playground area because I thought it'd be great for fellowship, for cookouts. You know, I've wanted it since, like, before the portable for the children's ministry back there, I wanted that. But I just kind of trust the Lord with it. So do I want that? Do I think the Lord's going to provide it? Yes. But should I freak out and stress for it? No. Demand my own way? No. So I think it's okay to want, especially if they're good things. But if it doesn't come or it doesn't come in your timing, are you that spoiled brat gets all mad at God that he's not giving you what you want when you want?
The idea of contentment is that there are things that you want, but to be content without them. If you had everything, then you wouldn't need to be content. You had it all.
Yes, you wouldn't have to ask.
It implies that you have wants, but
good,
that you're satisfied with what God gives you.
If no one was wrong, no one would be right.
What?
I'm using these really good illustrations. That's awesome. All right. Okay. So here we go. I'm trying to see if there's anything else. I got a million things. But okay, so here's what we're going to do. We don't want to follow after these folks with rebelliousness and pride. It's easy for us to go down the same path. You can easily become one of these or follow one of these. Don't do it. Be content with what you have. We're just going to show, because you got the video ready, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and I know I only got through one verse. I want to get through a lot of verses. But I'll just have to wait. But I did promise for 2 weeks, going back to Sodom and Gomorrah, I'll just be content with what we had.
And then,
in the next bunch of verses, it's going to go over some specific things of what these guys are like, so that you can really see it in detail. So, like, probably about 6 descriptions. Okay? So, George, are you ready? Would you mind queuing up that little video again? Yes, please.
Small church.
Yes.
If you have like a super big church, yes, you won't be able to interact with people as good as you can with a small church.
That's exactly correct. Good job, Sandra. That's so true. You know, but here's the thing.
It's whatever the Lord wants. That's what we should be seeking. For us,
for our family, just what do you want, God? That's the most important thing.
Amen? It might not be what you want.
It may not be what you want. That's absolutely right.
Ends up better than what
you
wanted anyway.
Yes.
From what I've seen.
Okay. Are you ready, George?
You want to get it to switch over? There we go.
Okay. All right. Now there's no sound. There's no sound. So you're just gonna have to watch. You hit the lights over there, Steve. No. Yes. That's what it looks like now.
Wow.
Like a well-watered garden. No. Just backs up the veracity of Scripture again. About the raining. Remember when it says that? Mm-hmm. It rained. How could it rain? Now watch. This is kind of cool, I thought. Anyway. Just a minute.
Wow.
That's burning with it. Sulfur. I don't know if you can see that actually, that rock just melting into liquid sulfur. Now, if there was an explosion that
ripped up your skin,
that would be on fire, and it would be raining fire, because there was an explosion 1/5 the circumference of the earth that went down there and ignited that. That liquid would be melted, it would be on fire, and it would be raining down. One more minute. that's the well-watered garden of the Lord, what it looks like now. It's just a barren wasteland. And who gets that in the third word? Thanks, buddy. You know, man, I'm just thinking about how long the people, they couldn't find these cities because the Dead Sea had to recede to be able to find them. So for all these years, they couldn't find them. Ah, Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, how could it rain? Fire, sulfur, liquid. How can these things happen? And man, God just shows himself strong again. The Bible is shown true again, again and again and again. Let's not be like those people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's not be those prideful, arrogant, overfed, sexually immoral, giving in to the lusts of our flesh, right? Let's give in to the Lord. All right, let's take a minute and let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word, Lord, that it does not return void, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would help us to steer clear of greed, Lord, of pride, of going wanting to go our own way instead of going your way, Lord God. To not rebel against you or your word or your whatever authority, whatever you've set up, Lord God. We wouldn't rebel against that, Lord God. That we instead be filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness, your goodness, faithfulness, your gentleness, and your self-control, Lord God. I pray for each person here, Lord God, that you would encourage them today, Lord God, that you would strengthen them today, Lord, that they would walk out of here a little more confident in your word, a little bit more confident in your scripture, a little bit more challenged, Lord, in how we're to live this Christian life, Lord God. That they wouldn't follow the way of Korah or Balaam or Cain, Lord God. But we would instead follow the way of your son Jesus, Lord God. Who is the perfect example for us, Lord. So help us to be loving and true and faithful and obedient in every way, Lord God. We pray for your blessing this week, Lord, just as it goes out, as we go back to our jobs and our families, that we would be mindful of you, Lord, in your ways, Lord God. We pray a blessing over the women's Bible study, Lord God, on Tuesday. Lord, that you would really bless that James study, Lord God, in Jesus' name. That you would bring those women together under one banner, your banner, Jesus. That you would bring different people in, Lord God, to add to it, Lord God, that would strengthen that group. Lord, I pray for the same for the youth group on Wednesday night and for the Friday forum this Friday as well, Lord God. Lord, I pray your blessing upon your people, upon your kids, your children here and over at the children's ministry, Lord God, back in the back, Lord God. And I pray that your will be done, Lord God, that we live lives worthy of the calling you've given us, Lord God. And we thank you for who you are and all that you've done for us, Lord. You are a good, good Father, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. Have a great day in Jesus' name.